This Sunday, I'm playing golf, and the following Sunday, I promise to take the kids to the beach.
Uh-huh.
Man's got to spend some time with his kids, you know.
Yeah, sure.
Besides, we seem to get along just fine without church. You know, it's up to the individual. Gee, look at the time. I got to run. But anyhow, we'll trot along to church one of these days.
Uh-huh. Well, how about 2 weeks from Sunday?
Oh, I never planned that for ahead. 2 weeks, the whole world could blow up by then.
That's right.
Where'd you get the idea you could make it all by yourself? Doesn't it get a little lonely sometimes out on that limb without him? It's a great life, but it could be greater. Why try and go it alone? The blessings you lose may be your own.
The preceding was presented by the United Presbyterian Church.
Welcome to Introspective, a strange introduction. Well, that is the voice of the inimitable Stan Freberg, our guest tonight. Jim Hodson, you're excited about this, aren't
you? Yes, extremely excited. I'm shaking. It's good to have you here.
He's sitting right here. The people don't know it.
Yes, I'm not supposed to be introduced in this portion of the program, as I understand it.
Yeah, thank you, sir. I don't know who that gentleman was.
you'll ask me later, I presume, about that little Christian radio spot that you just played.
We definitely will.
Yeah, okay. So remember what you just heard, folks, because we'll ask questions later. Yeah.
We'll be taking a test. Jim, how are you?
I'm fine, and this is going to be a great show, but in upcoming weeks we have some more fine shows. Next week, a two-hour special for Introspective with Dr. Walter Martin, leading authority on the cult.
You called him a leading authority. What would you call him?
Leader of the cult. Very grave error, I'm sorry, but a special two-hour show. You'll be able to call in and talk to the Bible Answer Man yourself. Then on August 3rd, Leah Zell, author of The Cinderella Syndrome, to the concept that many women have that marriage will save their lives or that sort of idea. Then on August 10th, the topic is eternal punishment. Bob and Gretchen Pasantino will be here with Randy Waters talking on that topic. Also, the Introspective newsletter is out now, and if you'd like to get a copy of it, it's free, and the address is Box 6555, Malibu, California, 92064. We'll have the address for you later, but be prepared to call in and talk to Stan. And
should we introduce that man that is not to be introduced yet again?
Yes, the legendary
Stan Freberg. Welcome, Stan.
Thank you, Craig. Nice to be here. Hi, Jim.
We're gonna open up with a instead of our normal devotional record. We're going to play you and set something up here for us.
Okay. Well, you just played a devotional radio commercial for us. you want to me to introduce the Indian
the song,
number?
The Indian.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, probably the most famous record of all the ones I've made over the years for Capitol Records is an album called Stan Freberg Presents the United States of America. And this has the greatest, you should excuse the expression, cult following. But it does, truly. And people come up to me in airports around the world and quote great sections out of this album and so forth. The people that love this the most, I really did it for all minorities, especially the blacks, because I wrote this during a lot of the civil rights problems we were having in the late 50s, early 60s. But I also wrote it for the Indians, and the Indians really dig it. 2 years ago, I was invited by the chairman of the Navajo Nation to come to the Kennedy Center in Washington, D.C., where all the tribal leaders had gathered, and a lot of black tie people were there. Mrs. Reagan was there, and Mr. and Mrs. George Bush, and it was to raise scholarships for Indian students who otherwise couldn't go to college and become lawyers and doctors and so forth. So it was a very worthwhile cause. Lauren Green played the other part that Peter Leeds is playing. When you hear this number, Martin Sheen introducing me said Freberg was the first one to point out how the Indians have been used as political pawns by politicians over the years, and this is the first time that they were used in Freeburg's record, I mean, theoretically. Anyhow, this Mayor Pennypacker is running for mayor of this pilgrim town, and he decides that it'd be a good thing to get the Indian vote if he invites one Indian to lunch as a symbolic gesture, and that way he could round up the Indian vote. Why don't you just play it, and we'll see what it sounds like.
Stan Freberg.
November 1621. By now, the white man has arrived in great numbers, not only at Miami, but at Jamestown, at Plymouth, and at Salem, Massachusetts. The Puritans have established a thriving colony, enjoying all the social and cultural refinements of a modern society.
Hiya, Harp. Who are you taking to the witch burning Saturday night?
Prudence Adams. Who are you taking to the Rotary Club luncheon?
I haven't got a date yet, but I hear it's going to be quite a spread.
Well, Mayor Pennypacker, how's it look for re-election?
Great, great, great. Never look better.
Yeah, what about the Indian vote?
What do you mean by that?
Well, you're not too popular with the Indians. They could lose you the election.
That's possible?
Well, they outnumber us.
Well, that's the trouble. You give them an inch and they take over.
But, Mayor, they were here before we were. We moved in on them.
So we did. Well, there's just something about them. They wear funny shoes. They don't even have buckles on them.
Be that as it may, election is Friday. You better make some gesture this week.
Like what?
Well, how about if you make a concession and pick an Indian as a running mate? You'd be sure to carry the Indian block.
What? Anything happened to me, you'd have a mayor that wasn't a Puritan. He'd probably take orders directly from Chief Powhatan.
Yeah.
Say, I got it. The big luncheon tomorrow, the one under the trees.
What about it?
We'll ask an Indian. That'll impress the rest of them.
We could even announce you're going to put one in your cabinet.
No need to go that far. Just have one to lunch.
It'll be great press.
Mayor Pennypacker comes out for equality. Justice. Votes. What a slogan. Take an Indian to lunch this week. Show him we're a regular bunch this week. Show him we're as liberal as can be. Let him know he's almost as good as we. Make a feathered friend feel fed this week. Overlook the fact he's red this week. Let him share our Quaker oats, 'cause he's useful when he votes. Take an Indian to lunch.
2, 4, 6, 8, who do we tolerate? Indians, Indians, rah, rah, rah. Take an Indian to lunch this week. Let him sit right down and munch this week.
Let's give in and all do the brotherhood bit. Just make sure we don't make a habit of it. Take an Indian to dine this week. Show him we don't draw the line this week. We know everyone can't be as American as we. After all, we came over on the Mayflower. Take an Indian. Not a wooden Indian, but a real life Indian to lunch.
I'm Craig Johnson. The show is Introspective. My guest tonight, writer, satirist, advertising pundit, Stan Freeberg. Again, welcome, Stan. Thank you for coming.
Thank you, Craig. Thanks for playing that number.
It was a joy.
I love hearing it, and I hope that it will be a Broadway musical in the next year, starting with Columbus Discovers America on up to the end of World War I, which was, as we all know, the war to end all wars, and the world lived happily ever after.
What would we do without you? Now, I'm holding a Christian Service Award in front of me. It was awarded to you by the Radio Television Commission of the Southern Baptist Convention, and I want to read the plaque. It says, Christian Service Award to Stan Freeberg for pioneering in the use of humor and wit to breathe life into religious radio and television spot announcements. His creative and refreshing material has yet to be equaled in audience outreach and listener impact. We salute this advertising genius who has used his talents to advance the cause of Christianity in America. Now, we open our show, instead of our normal song, with some of the spots that you did in the 1960s and 70s for the Presbyterian Church.
Right.
We want to talk about Christianity in the media tonight, and you are our in-house expert. How did you get to make those spots, and what was the impact they had?
Well, there were two troublemakers inside the Presbyterian hierarchy who realized that Christian broadcasting wasn't really going anywhere at that time. And in other words, it was just all talking to themselves, you know, talking to other Christians, and that certainly isn't doing the Lord's work. Because he said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to all the people, right? And so the rather vertical section of the audience, that's the Christian audience, is certainly not what Jesus meant by all the people, right? So at any rate, these guys, and one of them turned out to be one of my closest friends and still my friend today, Reverend Charles Brackbill, said, look, we got to go to somebody who knows how to talk to people like Stan Freberg, who, on behalf of advertisers across America, is selling products for companies because it doesn't sound like advertising. It just sounds like everyday conversation. They wanted somebody that knew how to write dialogue. In other words, the way people actually talked, I guess.
They wanted you to sell God.
They wanted me to sell God. It sounds like a crass way to put it, but why not? I mean, God certainly is worthy of being sold if pitted prunes are worthy of being sold, right?
your comparison.
Or canned chow mein. No, yeah. I mean, hey, if anything is worth selling, it's the cause of Christianity in this world, right?
Excellent.
I mean, I say that as a PK, you know, I'm a preacher's kid from way back, but and a Christian for most of my life. But the point was that it was very hard to get the Presbyterian hierarchy to okay this stuff. Because they didn't understand it. It sounded too secular to them. But that was what was good about it.
Were they scared?
Sure they were scared. Anyhow, they finally, the head of the whole church, who later became the head of the whole church, what was it, in Geneva, you know, all...
you want help from me? I don't know.
The ecumenical body.
Ecumenical body.
Body of churches. The World Council of Churches. Thank you,
Freberg.
There it is. Yeah. Anyhow, his name was Dr. Eugene Carson Blake, and he was a great forward-thinking guy. He marched with Martin Luther King in the 60s and was a terrific guy. He later became the head of the church. This man listened to these spots at JFK Airport in New York, where Charlie had grabbed him just before his plane took off for Geneva, and Charlie played these commercials for him, and he said, "What's wrong with those? Those are terrific." And Charlie said, "Well, the church, sir, just shot these down." And he said, "Oh, well, the minute my plane lands in Geneva, I'll okay them and make sure they get on the air." And only because that man had the foresight to realize that these would reach out to non-Christians in secular broadcasting and reach them, were they ever on the air? Otherwise, they would have been torpedoed by the church.
Now, we're going to play another one of those spots in a minute, but I want to ask you really the essential question tonight. Christianity and the media. What is the body of Christ scared of when it comes to... Are they worried about pitching God? Are they worried about using secular methods to promote their product? Why do they resist someone like you who has a proven success record in selling products?
I don't know. Maybe the problem with the church in broadcasting is the problem that I had with myself when I was first approached by the church. I turned them down when they first came to me. Because I wasn't sure that I could do commercials for God, to put it bluntly, in good taste, still using some sort of humor.
You didn't want to be sacrilegious in any way.
No, I didn't want to be sacrilegious. Of course not. I mean, brought up in a Christian home, and I was a Christian. I just didn't want to do that. So I turned these people down for almost a year, but they persisted. Charlie Brackbill, the reverend from the church, persisted. Finally, he said to me, "What are you afraid of?" Said to me. I'm afraid of, you know, treating God like he was a product. And he said, "Don't you think God is as worthy as some of the other products you have on the shelf here that you're trying to sell?" So the minute the man said that, I realized, my gosh, the man is right. I'm doing God a disservice if I don't use my God-given talents to help make people think about God. By the way, I did these not for the Presbyterians and not for the Baptists either, who gave me the award. It's pretty funny. The Southern Baptists have to give me this award instead of the Presbyterians giving me the award, right? And they just gave me this a few years ago in Fort Worth, Texas, the Baptists. But I didn't do them for the Baptists or the Presbyterians. I just did them for the Lord, you know. I think maybe the Christian church is hung up on the fact that they're so afraid of being sacrilegious that they don't ever move out of the rut that they're in. And then you're not doing the Lord's work by doing that. I mean, you got to talk to people on a level that they understand. If you're going to be dropped, for example, I realized that if these spots of mine for the church were going to be dropped into rock radio, you know, just hard rock radio, because why put them on Christian stations? Hey, you're all talking to yourselves. It's all inbred, right?
Yeah.
No, the point is to go out into the world where people don't normally hear these things. So I have to tell you this amazing story. It's not in any way patting myself on the back, but it's just a fact of life. This is what happened. Normally, a company like Procter & Gamble, say, will run spots. Saturation would be 150, 200 impressions a week. on a given radio station. Okay, that's saturation to Procter & Gamble or General Foods or somebody like that. Normally, the idea that a public service spot would be played at all in prime drive time in radio, which is 7 to 9 in the morning, 4 to 6 in the afternoon, it'd be a miracle if you got maybe 4 or 5 plays a week, a dozen, hey, right? These spots were played for free as public service spots 300 and 400 times a week on the top radio stations in America, New York City, Detroit, Michigan, Chicago, Illinois, Los Angeles, California, all these stations.
What was the response? Were you excited? Were you surprised? Were you surprised?
Surprised. I became alarmed. I said, listen, pull the spots off. I told the church, look, these people will start stoning the radio stations. It's too much. You're hitting them over the head with Christianity. And they said, not a chance, Freeburg. After all these years of being relegated to that spot in the morning, that wonderful prime time, right between Smokey the Bear and the American flag coming on.
Sunrise semester.
They said, the fact that we're being played 500 and 600 times a week in prime time is, you should excuse the expression, drunk with power, you know.
You're listening to KKLA 99.5. The show is introspective, and right now we're going to go to one of those spots, the God is Dead spot. I think it speaks
for itself. Yeah, well, that was right after some professor at Yale or somewhere like that proclaimed, is it possible that God is dead, you know? So I felt a friend of mine had been attacked. And I said, hey, you know, Time magazine said on the cover, is God dead? Well, I mean, Time magazine, the cover of Time, and a guy at Yale, you wouldn't want to check any deeper than that, right?
Remember Stan the last Bieber. Time we were talking, I said I couldn't make it to church that Sunday because of one thing and another, and you said, how about 2 weeks from a Sunday?
Oh, yeah.
And I said, 2 weeks? Huh, I never planned that far ahead. The whole world could blow up by then, and you said, that's right. Remember?
Uh-huh.
So anyhow, I've been thinking it over all this time, and I decided I was going to drop by church to just, you know, see what's happening. I mean, what could it hurt, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Well, but then I heard he was dead.
What?
I heard God is dead, so there wouldn't seem to be too much point in bothering him.
You're pretty sure about that, are you, that God is dead?
Well, of course I'm sure. I mean, that's what people are saying. God is dead, and that's that. There's no point in pursuing it any further. I mean, fact is fact. If all the people who are smarter than I am say God is dead, then who am I to question it, right? I mean, there's just no point in questioning it.
Well, then why do you keep flipping through that Bible?
The preceding was presented by the United Presbyterian Church.
Stan, that was incredible.
Well,
you said the response was incredible to these. Why, let me ask you again, I want to probe a little deeper. Why do you think that Christianity, and they're obviously not afraid to use the media because there are TV evangelists every time you turn on the television, why are they a little reluctant to do it right?
I don't know. They seem to be afraid to talk in the so-called secular language. The spot you just heard is just like, you know, like we're talking now, right? That's the way I talk in all the commercials I've been doing for 25 years. It's the way I've talked in all the records I've made and so forth. And but that's the kind of dialogue that people respond to. It sounds like real life, so they listen to it. But the interesting thing was that the people that understood those spots the least was the church. You know, I have said the only thing standing in the way of Christianity going forward is the organized Christian church. No, I mean, just, you know.
I didn't say that.
First, we have to get past that bulwark,
yeah.
You know. And once we get past that structure, then we might be able to reach somebody for the Lord. But the people in the church thought these spots were terrible. Most of the churches on the local level said, what's he doing here? They've lost their mind at the Presbyterian church. You know, but in the meantime, they did, in order to defend themselves, the Presbyterians did these aided recall things where they ask people, call them on the radio and say, I mean on the telephone, and say, have you heard any spots on the radio of a religious nature lately? And if so, what were they about? And so forth. They got like 90% total recall from people. It was just incredible. You know, at Giant, I hate to keep referring to big companies like P&G and General Foods, but if they ever got a response from like 15 to 20% of the people remembered anything that they advertised, they think they died and went to heaven. You know, they think, oh boy, we've really hit the big time. But to get a 90% response is almost unreal, and yet that's what happened. So then the church knew, hey, something is going on here. We finally are reaching somebody out in the outer world, in the secular world, which is where we all wanted to go all along. And so that's, I guess I broke the mold at that point. And
Well, the award you received said, for pioneering in the use of humor and wit to breathe life into religious and radio television. Now I want to ask you, as a professional, as a professional writer, satirist, advertising pundit, what would your counsel be to the various Christians in media? What do you think as an expert when you watch the programs? Negative, positive? How do you feel?
Much too religious. They're all acting like they're going to be all called up to glory in about 30 seconds. Paul Crouch is like looking up for a hole in the clouds so that he makes sure that there's a hole he's going to go up through, you know, with Mrs. Crouch. No kidding. I mean, I love the Crouches. I know them personally. But, you know, they're so Christian as they're talking there. And they're talking to other Christians. My, my. Oh, Lord. You know, hey, that's just religious. That's religious broadcasting talking to religious people. Christian people talking to Christian people, right?
What can we do in order to...
You know, that's like a brain surgeon getting on called the Brain Surgery Hour. And it's all he talks is in medical terms, and the only people that appreciate the program is other brain surgeons. Some audience he's got there, right?
You're listening to Introspective. My guest is writer, satirist, advertising pundit Stan Freberg. We're discussing Christianity in the media, and we're going to go to the phones, not on the half hour, but if we're still here, we will be hitting the phones with live calls at 15
to 9. If you're still here, Craig. That'll teach you to invite me down as a guest. Hey, man, you told me to tell it like it was, right?
No, I'm thrilled with it. I'm glad this is the best show we've had. 15 to 9, we're going to the phone calls. If you'd like to talk to Stan Freberg, the number is 818-762-5552. That's 818-762-5552. Get your calls in now. We're going to bring your baby daughter in here in just a little while.
My baby daughter. Beautiful, beautiful baby daughter.
Yes, right. She's not so much a baby. What is she, 30
well,
this
week?
Well,
who knows? No. She's pushing 29, something like that, somewhere in there.
Now, there's no need to really introduce you. Your past, the Chungking commercials, Sunsweet Prunes, everything that you've done has really established you in your area of expertise. But I want to ask you now, just for a minute, what do you think the condition of general satirists is today? Do we have good comedians
today?
Well, are we
through? I noticed you've dumped the subject of...
No. Paul and Jan are on the phone. I'm fine with that.
No, hey. Hi, Paul. Hi, Jan. How are you?
No, I haven't dumped it. I honestly want to know, in the Christian sphere, outside of the Christian sphere, do you see anything new that excites you and encourages you on the landscape?
Well, not satirically speaking, exactly. I don't admire a heck of a lot of comedians. I mean, I can count them on a couple of thumbs, you know. Woody Allen, and the brightest of the new comedians is a young man named Stephen Wright.
Yes, my favorite.
He talks about how he put instant coffee into his microwave oven and went back in time.
and he also says he tapes up his mirrors so he doesn't accidentally go into another dimension.
He got that from Kurt Vonnegut, I think. But I don't really see too many satirists. You know, Woody Allen, as of late, is not all that much of a satirist either. He wants to be the Jewish Ingmar Bergman or something. But
when discussing Nightlight, which was Todd and Donna Fisher's program, which you helped immensely.
And I helped immensely, and I wrote on that. So do I love the Crouches?
Yeah.
I helped do that show, right?
Do you feel that these are valid breakthrough areas? It's so difficult sometimes for new blood to get into old organizations.
Do I think it's a valid breakthrough? It's the only breakthrough that I've been aware of in Christian television broadcasting. The things that my daughter and Todd did, Nightlight. I mean, those were really, you know, moments of great light shining through all of a sudden. But it's tough for the organized Christian church, and without mentioning anybody, to appreciate.
Go ahead.
No, it's tough for the people that run Christian broadcasting to appreciate that.
Because, to recognize the brightness of it?
No, I'll tell you what. They are exactly in the position of the clients that I create advertising for. The people that I work... For example, one time at General Motors, I did a lot of commercials for General Motors over the years, telling people to bring their cars back to their General Motors dealer for service. It's now called Mr. Goodwrench, you know. I worked in a lot of this stuff before that. They said, well, these are great spots, Stan. We're just worried about the people upstairs. I said, who cares about the people upstairs? This is in the big black General Motors building in Detroit. I said, the people upstairs are already bringing their General Motors cars back for service. And the guy went, Eureka. The point is, the client is the last guy that you should create the advertising for.
Now
he's already getting the product free, right?
This is just a little inside thing. I know you mentioned to me at one time. You have final say, don't you? And what is funny when you produce or you write something?
Well, yes, I do. I mean, I have somebody has to be in charge, you know.
That's a rarity, though, isn't it?
It is a rarity. I'm the only guy in advertising, I think, that has that clause in my contract that says, in essence, by the way, could somebody bring me a glass of Wawa?
Water? You've got the seven-second delay out there. They're looking like a cow at a new gate. Water.
Water. Now the delay caught
it up. It is a sauna. Do you agree, Stan?
Thanks.
This is a sauna. Did you bring the towel tonight?
It's a little warm in here. As the tithes come in, we'll be able to afford air conditioning here.
That's a Christian show,
but,
Stan.
I know. Hey, listen.
In fact, what a segue. No. We're going to the devil interview, and
first,
there's warmth
first
in the room.
First the Biafran children, then the air conditioning.
There we go.
I understand.
Okay,
Haitian,
we are going.
The Crouches love the Haitians.
They do.
I'd like to talk to him about that sometime.
You probably will
Haitians
be able
brought
to.
Into this country
legally.
All right, now
we're segueing now very abruptly into the devil.
Will you be
interview.
Happy in some other line of employment? By
no,
the way,
no, that's
Craig?
All. I'm wearing your hat. I feel comfortable.
No,
I love heat.
Yeah. Can I have the question again, please?
The question: Are you running in '88? No,
No, you said something very significant that I want to answer.
I did?
I was on the verge of answering. You want to ask for water.
Okay. Well, no, I was asking you about Nightlight. I was going to segue into the devil
interview.
No,
I was talking, okay, but that's, you can segue if you want. But here's the interesting thing, that the people that are in charge of companies, General Foods and the various advertisers, you know, that control a lot of the money that's spent on advertising, they are so serious about their product, and because they're involved with millions of dollars are involved here, you know. And they're all worried about their jobs, and they're worried about what the board of directors are going to say. So they're not in too good of humor most of the time. They are the last people to pass judgment on whether the advertising I would create for them is going to communicate with anybody. They're worried about whether it's going to communicate with them. Forget them. They're not the audience. They're not the target. They're not the demographic target, right? So once you make them realize, hey, these commercials were not meant for you, they're meant for the people you're trying to sell this product to, then they go, okay, they relax and they let you operate. The first thing that happens is when the sales go up, everybody stays off your back from then on. The same thing, this is a good analogy, it's the same thing true of Christian broadcasting. People like Paul and Jan Crouch, who run Channel 40, they're in the same position, they're just like the people I just described. They're very serious, a lot of money comes in, a lot of donations and tithes, and they're worried if somebody might think, is this money spent properly for a program like, say, Nightlight, you know? Okay, instead of worrying about the little old ladies that give donations, they should be better they worry in the name of the Lord whether the broadcasting they're doing is reaching anybody except little old ladies and other Christians, right?
Which brings us to Nightlight.
Listen, forget the Christians. I say that as a Christian. Go out and talk to the other people who are not Christians. That's the audience.
That's who we want to reach.
And if Christians want to listen along with you, with them, hey, well, that's wonderful, right?
What do we got coming up? What is this? This is a little clip from the first Nightlight program you did. It was a satirical Christian show. Set this up for us.
Yeah, well, okay. It was a satirical Christian show produced by my daughter and Donna Freeberg and Todd Fisher. And they asked me if I would write a piece. And I thought it might be interesting if somebody like a Merv Griffin or a Dick Cavett or Phil Donahue or somebody like that were to interview the devil. What if the devil came on as a guest, you know? Our guest tonight, the devil, right? So it sort of blew their mind at Channel 40. But nevertheless, to their credit, they let us do it.
Wonderful.
And this is the spot, the edited version, slightly edited, right? That I wrote and directed for the Nightlight Show.
You're listening to Introspective. My guest is Stan Freeberg, writer, satirist, advertising pundit, and we're going to the phone calls in 15 minutes. Right after this little piece, Donna, your baby daughter is coming in.
Okay, that's wonderful. And Miguel Ferrer is playing the interviewer, I forgot to say.
Timothy Sims.
Timothy Sims is playing, excuse the expression, Satan.
From Nightlight, the devil interview.
Which brings us to our guest, how do you like to be addressed, Mr. Beelzebub, Prince of Darkness, the Devil?
Whatever.
Satan, perhaps.
I don't care what you call me, just so you call me.
Right. Say, before we put you on the hot seat here, just a little pun, I was going to say, along with your other credits, we left out Faust, the opera. I mean, you were one of the major stars of that, right? If you remember, the character Faust sells
us... You left out a lot more than Faust. You forgot some of my major vehicles. The Roman Empire, for example.
I see. All that business with the Colosseum.
Yes, right? I was on the side of the lion.
Right, right, right.
And then I more or less choreographed the fall of the whole thing.
Nice job. Really nice job you did on the Romans there.
Oh, they took direction well.
Uh-huh.
So did the people in Pompeii. I had some terrific fireworks at the end of that one.
You know, I heard you did. I didn't see it myself, but I understand the special effects in Pompeii were outstanding. I mean, the molten lava. That must have been really memorable.
Yes, especially to the people I buried in it.
How many people did you bury in it?
All of them.
Could we turn down the thermostat a little bit in the studio, fellas? It was really very warm in here. Does it feel warm to you, or is it just me?
I'm very comfortable.
All right, well, I mean, inspiring a city like Pompeii to become progressively evil and ungodly right up to their horrible end, would you call that one of your major productions?
Minor.
I see, like the bubonic plague, just sort of a one-night stand, huh?
No. I kept the Black Death running for a long time. Stan was more like Charles Manson murders.
That's right. That was yours, wasn't it?
Yes. Just a quick appearance. In and out, so to speak.
Well, then, if you call these things minor, what would you consider one of your major productions, Mr. Satan?
Well, the Third Reich was pretty major.
That's major. Definitely major. But you mean the Nazis? All those terrible things they did to people, that was all of your...
Yes. I orchestrated the whole thing.
And Adolf Hitler?
Ah, Hitler. That was my man.
You more or less worked with him, right?
No, through him.
I see. In other words, you as the devil sort of used Adolf Hitler as your representative, then?
More like my ventriloquial dummy.
Moving right along now, I'd like to bring
Since
on our
Hitler,
next...
of course, I've become more subtle.
I see.
One of my favorite devices is to work through supposedly religious leaders. You know, your basic charismatic spellbinder, who's really, underneath it all, a fruitcake.
Well, like who, for example?
Like the Reverend Jim Jones.
I see what you mean.
I could really take possession of a crackpot like that, little by little, so people didn't realize what was happening. You see, the world gradually got smarter. I had to get my act together, be subtler, shrewder. Hitler was too obvious. The Reverend Jim Jones was a masterpiece of deception. I'm very proud of Jonestown.
Again, Stan Freberg, that was a little clip from Nightlight. Go on. you want to get
Man,
on the soapbox
I hear that.
Again.
No, I hear that and I get chills, you know. I'm very proud of that piece. Of course, we have to tell the audience once again, what you heard was the soundtrack of a television spot in which this man who was in a dark suit with a mustache and with shadow over his face, looked very much like he could indeed be the devil come into a human body. And it was devastating. I really loved doing it, though. Anyhow,
did you have, yeah,
what? Go ahead.
You
what?
Had something you wanted to say before
oh,
we leave.
I just
segment.
Wanted to say that I would say to all Christian broadcasters the same thing that I told the Presbyterians and the Baptists in the 60s. You know, someday you got to talk to the Lord, you know, and when you tell him, well, mostly we talk to other Christians, you know, be sure that he's not going to say to you, listen, don't do me any favors. Right?
So we've got to preach to the world.
Preach
and
to
teach
the world.
The saved, yeah.
Go out to, even if it sounds too secular to you, terrific. That means you must be doing something right. Because people, listen, man, the thing starts to sound religious, bam, you're gone. They zap you out. They got the zap box now, you know.
Yeah.
The minute they see four tears coming down Jan Crouch's face, they're out of there, man.
Yeah,
goodbye, zap, she's gone.
It's Miami
they don't
Vice
want people
and
see
the
people,
Tonight Show. Yeah.
Hey, listen, who wants to see a woman standing there weeping about the Haitian people up the beach when they can watch Miami Vice or some of the shows? So the point is, why doesn't Mr. Crouch do something on his show which would hold them there and not have them flip to Miami Vice? That's the whole idea.
KKLA See? Is going to miss me, Stan, but this has been an
accurate
interview.
Hey, I'm telling you.
No, you're telling me the truth.
I don't want to just come down to the Crouches. I'd say that to anybody.
Sure.
All those people out there
sure.
that are my daughter's friend here.
Mm-hmm. Here we have...
From Texas.
We have
are you going to introduce this beautiful
third
girl?
Person, yes, and we have a beautiful
yes.
girl to
can,
my right.
Can I say something?
Please.
I tell people I have a beautiful daughter. They say to me, oh, well, all fathers say that about their daughters. Then if they happen to see my daughter, they say, hey, she really is beautiful. Right.
Hi, Zsa Zsa. No.
Embarrassing.
Donna Fisher. Welcome, Donna, to Introspective.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
Have I embarrassed you completely?
Totally. Okay.
Donna, what was it like growing up in this household?
Oh, gosh.
In a nutshell.
People used to ask me, is he as funny, you know, as funny at home as he is in real life? And I'd say...
Of course not.
Yeah, no, he's angry, actually. Satirists are very angry, I'd say. But I guess he deals with it in a funny way. But
that's right.
Is it right?
Yeah, I mean...
Move up to the mic.
Satirists are serious. It's serious business because we're social critics under it all. And tonight, before I came here, I was at the wedding of the daughter of my best friend, Ray Bradbury, the great writer, science fiction writer and poet and so forth. And Bradbury starts out every day pretty angry at the world, too. He's a satirist in a strange way, but he too, is a satirist. And if you look at the only really great satire being done in America, by the way, is at the moment, is being done by political satirists in cartoons like Oliphant and Paul Conrad at the Los Angeles Times, a man who I've known for a long time. Conrad starts out every morning very, very angry. The point is, nobody wants to hear unedited anger. Mm-hmm. And so the idea is to get some kind of humor into it so people will swallow it.
Which brings us to Nightlight. Donna, you and Todd were asked to do the program. What was your experience in doing that program? I know there was a great response to it on behalf of the young people and others, but what's your 2 cents worth, Christianity and the media?
Well, it's funny, you know, when you guys were sitting here talking, I thought to myself, I wanted to ask you, Dad, how long has it been since you did the last set of commercials for the Presbyterian Church?
Mid-60s.
Right, so yeah, we're talking 20 years. And I thought to myself...
20 years, yeah.
You know, after you said about the total recall, yeah. 90%, you know, yeah. I thought people would be beating down your door.
Right.
Well,
the
I
new,
thought
you mean
the
from
same
the Christian
thing.
Church?
Absolutely.
Yeah, hey, and the price was right. I did it for nothing.
That's
know.
Right.
I donated my time.
We ended up in the hole after every show ourselves. And I just thought, you know, when they see something that works, that reaches people, you'd think it would so excite Christians. They would say, yes, this is what we want. This is what, you know, we had a vision for. But instead, it's been 20 years since you've done yours, and we're
that's
not
right.
doing Nightlight
no,
anymore.
Right.
And it really makes me sad.
I want to just change the tone here for a second. I want to ask you, in your experience doing the Nightlight programs, how did you censor what you were doing, or did you at all? What elements went into when you were writing, and Stan was helping you write things, and you and Todd were both writing things? What went too far? And are we moving into an area where we could possibly go too far?
I think what my dad said is really true. I think that if you offend some of the real staunch Christians, you're on the right road. We never really worried about going too far. I think
when
we worried
says,
about
when you
being,
say offend, you don't ever mean offending God.
Never.
Or never, because we would never, you or I, would never... do anything that was sacrilegious. But it sometimes seems so secular to the organized church that it almost seems, could this be sacrilegious, what these people are doing? No, they're talking in non-Christianese. They're talking in everyday language, which seems so strange to them.
Well, their world gets so small, they don't even remember how to talk to people anymore.
No, that's right. Yeah.
What was the general response from the public and the people that saw Nightlight over the various networks?
Overwhelming.
Terrific. It was terrific.
Yeah. Everywhere that, you know, it played, the very people that I wanted to reach, people that would come to me on the street, people in restaurants and stuff, were exactly the people I
and
wanted to reach.
And celebrity friends
oh,
and so on.
Oh, absolutely. I would get on my knees at night and thank God because I didn't want to reach other Christians, maybe because my father had angrily talked to me about that for so many years. But, you know, that really wasn't my heart, and I wanted to reach the very people that would come up to me and say, my God, I happened to be flipping by and saw your face or saw your dad or saw
yeah,
Todd,
right, right,
and I said, well, I'll watch this for a minute, and they laughed, and they were touched by it, and, you know, that's what we wanted to do. When people said, well, what kind of a show do you do? People ask me that a lot, my dentist, you know, different people, and I say, well, basically what we did is we did a show that dealt with the hypocrisy that people see, the kind of people that they can't relate to. We sort of say, hey, but that shouldn't stop you from having a relationship with the living God. You know, that was our heart.
So in other words, you could be a normal, witty, intelligent human being and have reverence for God and also win people to Christ.
Absolutely. And
you
just,
better
just,
believe it, of course. That's the whole...
That's the idea. You know, I say to people, hey, I'm just a little toe, but nonetheless, it's an important voice that I think has been ignored for so many years. I mean, the church has been so afraid to have humor or to have intelligence or to have anything relatable to human beings.
We're going to the phones in about 5 minutes. This is Introspective, 99.5 FM, KKLA. If you want to talk to Stan Freeberg or Donna Fisher, please call 818-762-5552. That's 818-762-5552. I want to ask first Donna, and then I'll ask Stan, where do you see this nightlight-type situation, new innovative programmings? Where do you think it's going in the future? Do you see doors opening? Do you see it as a wave of the future?
I see it as a wave of the future, but I think by faith. I see it.
You do have your pocket promise book here, don't you?
Yeah. What I'm trying to say is what I finally realized is that the people that we did the show for and the Christians didn't really understand the value of putting a lot of money into programming, and it always made me sad. I don't know why they don't see that. And I said, look, if you're going to compete with other shows, you can't have the same palm, you know, with the same set and just interchanging the people in the same polyester suits. You have to get
same fireplace.
Yeah, absolutely. The same plastic flowers. You have to get interesting sets. We did our whole show on location because we couldn't afford to build the sets, obviously. And I said, and you got to get actors and you have to pay them and you have to do real live creative programming
if you
want to reach people. Exactly.
Yeah.
And so what I finally come to realize, my goal right now is to get sponsors together and just go against the preachers on like Channel 11 or Channel 13. I mean, I think that it's not going to happen from
Prime
within
time,
the Christians. I thought so. I wanted it to. I thought, hey, we can build upon the foundation they've set. But it just, obviously, they aren't ready for it.
Can I tell you something? That's a lost cause. Where you need to do your show, Donna, is you need to do it on NBC.
Absolutely.
Or Metro Media, you know, or syndicated around the country. You need to go outside the Christian embryo, the Christian world, and do it out in the secular world.
But it made me sad.
Because after all, but listen to me, the radio spots that your dad did, that we're playing here tonight, was not just played on Christian radio stations like this one.
Yeah.
It was played on WNEW in New York, WNS in Chicago. It was on K-Rock here, you know, at Kiss FM, those kind of stations. Dropped in the middle of Kiss FM, can you imagine? Mm-hmm. At 4:30 in the afternoon or 7:30 in the morning, here comes this Christian spot. That's the way to do it. But I was never able to do it again. When I gave my God-given talents to the Lord to do some more of these spots, how about the Baptists hiring me to do some more spots?
So I hired him.
So Donna hired me instead.
I know a good thing when I see it.
So this man, I'll tell you, I'll even name, hey, I'm name names, man. This guy's name was Paul Stevens, okay? The head of the Radio Television Commission of the Southern Baptists. When I said to him, why don't the Baptists hire me to do some more spots like this? He said, something to think about, all right.
Where to go?
Hello? Anybody there? That was 1976.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we've got to go to the world and preach the gospel. We've also got to go to calls. Our first call is from Monica from Tahunga. Monica, you're on the air with Stan Freeberg and Donna Fisher. What's your question?
Well, I just wanted to ask Stan if he would make a comment on the Isaac Air Freight comedian team, and also if you had any comments on the Wycliffe Door publication.
Oh, Wittenberg Door.
Wittenberg Door.
Is that your only question, Monica?
Yeah, it is.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thanks.
Okay.
The Christian comedians.
Yeah. Christian comedians. Unfortunately, because these Christian comedians have probably been working on mostly Christian stations that I have somehow missed, I haven't seen these guys. But are they funny? Are they good?
We're going to Sandy and Garden Grove right now.
No, they're
very good.
Sure.
They're innovative.
May I say something? I've heard the names before.
Yes, and, they are innovative, and the Wittenberg Door.
But hey, I don't want to go on a Christian station and lie.
No, the Wittenberg
Door. I've heard them, and they're terrific.
The Wittenberg Door.
I have to be honest, I haven't heard them. But,
the Wittenberg Door is one of the only satirical magazines that is really in a National Lampoon frame, making a lot of headway.
Great.
And taking chances.
Great. Oh, great.
Yeah, and they're brilliant.
That's great.
In fact, you should subscribe to them. I'll give you the address.
Okay.
Sandy in Garden Grove, you're on the air. Introspective. Hi. Question?
Yes. Basically, I just wanted to tell you how that... Yes, I wanted to tell you how that...
Turn your radio down, Sandy.
Okay.
You've got a delay there.
Okay.
Does this happen to Larry King, Stan? Does this happen
to King? Yeah, I was just on with Larry King in Dallas.
Okay,
yeah.
Can I keep talking?
Yes, what's your question?
Sandy?
Hi, Sandy. You remember us?
Yes. Okay, I was listening to your program, and I just really am excited about what you're saying because I've been coming to some of these truths in the past couple of weeks since I've been backslidden for a couple of years. I accepted the Lord in 71 and was going to a spirit-filled church and everything. And I got married at a young age, thinking that was the Christian thing to do. Yeah.
What, did you have a question, Sandy? A specific question?
Okay. Well, I was just wondering. Okay, I just wanted to explain that, you know, that I would like to get out there and, you know, like, be a Christian biker for the Lord and get out there on the highways and byways, you know.
Yeah. You mean you want to be relatable to people, huh?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this is just really something that's really confirmed it to my heart.
Well, thank you for calling, Sandy. Okay. We appreciate it.
Okay. Here's what you want to put on your black leather coat. Heaven's Angels you could put on there, right?
All right, yeah.
Right, okay.
Thank you, Sandy.
Okay, bye.
We're going to go to Nanette in Chino. Nanette, you're on the air with Stan Freeberg and Donna Fisher. What's your question? Nanette, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Yes, go ahead. What's your question?
I just wanted to ask, well, tell Donna and Stan God bless them, and that's what's happening out here in the streets. And I hope that they're going to start a program or be on the air again. And is there any way of getting the tape that they did on, what was it?
Can they get the spots? Channel 4.
Oh, you mean, are you talking about the Nightlight show that my daughter did?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Well, they
could not
call
interested
Channel
in my radio
40,
spots, I noticed. Just my daughter's.
We put them in the show.
Okay,
hey,
that's
don't
all right.
Complain. They're in the show. They're in the show. They get bothered.
No, Donna,
okay,
would
how
it
can,
help?
How can she get your show?
It's funny. I just got a letter the other day. A lot of people have approached us to put them on video cassette, and we're trying to work a deal right now where they'll be available in
would
major
it be
Christian
helpful,
bookstores.
Would it be helpful for people like this to call Channel 40 and to express how much they appreciated the
Absolutely.
Program? That could not
we
hurt.
We told everybody that they should do that.
You're listening to Introspective. My guests tonight are Stan Freeberg, writer, satirist, advertising pundit, and his daughter, Donna Fisher. We've got about 12 more minutes. The phone number is 818-762-5552, 818-762-5552. Stan, I've got a piece of paper in front of me that you wouldn't bring up, but you were just written into the Congressional Record. Let me quote a little of this. Mr. Levine of California, Honorable Mel Levine of
Levine.
Levine. Thank you.
Well,
you mentioned the Crouches, right? I'm sorry.
It's Levine.
It's
that's
Levine.
All right. Yeah.
The speaker in California State Senate recently honored one of the great satiric and comic minds of our time, Stan Freeberg. I can think of no single individual who has had a greater impact on the advertising industry in the last 20 years than Stan Freeberg, and that's quite an honor. What did you think about that?
Thanks. Well, I was naturally thrilled and honored to be written into the Congressional Record from the floor of the House of Representatives, and he said some other very nice things about the truth in advertising that I've always insisted on, and he said that I had been called the conscience of advertising because of the truth I've always insisted on in commercials. And so I was very proud. It was nice that somebody was paying attention out there, I thought,
yes.
After all this time.
That's
and it
recent.
Was very nice. Yeah, I was. David Hartman said something similar. I was on Good Morning America recently, and he said I was the first guy that legitimized the use of humor in advertising. And what he really meant by that was I was the first guy to prove that it could work, that humor could work. And humor can also work for the Lord, and that's what I was attempting to do. In those
and
Stan,
the truth can work.
Well,
I love that. You know, the truth will
truth
work whenever
humor.
You do it.
Absolutely.
Both of you, isn't this sort of a catch-22? They won't let you in the established order until you've proven yourself, but you know what I mean?
We did prove ourselves, though. That's what, Todd and I, we took chances. We said, hey, we're willing to be mavericks. We're willing to go where no Christian has ever traveled before. And we had so much free advertising because People Magazine, Interview Magazine, a lot of the major magazines all over the world did stories on us, and Todd went on the Today Show, and I thought, well, this is what we wanted. I mean, this
and
is,
that
you know,
would seem
it
to
proved
be impressive.
Itself.
Yeah, yeah.
And,
no, you seem so strange to the Crouches. You didn't seem like normal Christian, broadcasters as they knew it. And so that's the way you have to break out of the mold. The stuff that I did in my commercials for the Lord, for the Presbyterians, I actually did them for the National Council of Churches also. It was like a Frank Lloyd Wright building thrust up overnight in a sea of Victorian architecture and was just about as understood as Frank Lloyd Wright when he first started.
And I'll say amen to that because that's about how I felt during
and that's
that show.
And the things that you and Todd did had the same, that was also that to Channel 40 was like a Frank Lloyd Wright piece of architecture in a sea of Victorian architecture.
We're going to the phones again. Fred from San Gabriel, you're on the air. What's your question?
Hi, I'd like to ask Stan, having been a faithful fan of yours for many years, I have one of your albums that goes back to your radio show in the 50s.
Great, yeah, this the Stan Freeberg show on CBS.
Right.
Good.
I just wonder if there's any chance at all that you might be going back and trying to do something like that again.
A radio show? Well, the American Public Radio has been talking to me now for about 2 years. They're the people that put on Garrison Keillor and the Prairie Home Companion. And they also did, they got, George Lucas gave them the rights to The Empire Strikes Back and Star Wars as a radio show. And it's just, it's tough to get the funds. What this man wants me to do is to go down to some theater, like the Variety Arts Theater in Los Angeles or anywhere where there's a big audience, rehearse a radio show for 2 days with a band, cast, sound men, bring the audience in, and do it live to the satellite. And it'll be the Freeburg Show for the 80s on radio. And that's what he's trying to work on now, the guy with KUSC in Los Angeles, the managing director.
Like
so
he's
working on that.
Remember, we did a record that way.
Yeah, just like we did the record that you were on. That's right. Donna was on my record, Freeburg Underground, when she was 10 years old.
She was 10, huh?
Yes. Are you giving me the cut
radio
signal,
yeah,
sir?
No, I'm not giving you the cut signal. I want to ask you
no
a question.
No problem. It's your show.
Craig from Los Angeles, on the air, asking us a question. Yeah.
No, I forgot. I got so scared there. I was flustered.
Anyhow, thanks, Fred.
What was it? Thank you, Fred.
I hope to do it soon, yeah.
Yeah, well, I lost my train of thought there. Well, that's my fault. Well, Peter from Redondo Beach.
Yeah, Redondo Beach.
We can always go to Redondo Beach. Peter, you're on the air.
Hello.
Fine.
First of all, Stan.
Yes.
I've been a fan of yours for a long time. Singing George and the Dragonettes is my favorite recording ever.
Good, that's nice. Thank you.
I wanted to let you know that first. Mm-hmm. And my question is, most of the TV you'll see is really meant only to entertain. Like, for instance, Miami Vice, it really doesn't try and teach you anything or instruct you in anything.
Oh, no. It's just chewing gum for the eyes.
Right. So my question is, do you think that as Christian media continues, as we see more Christian television put on the air, do you think it'll be more drawn into becoming only entertainment, or do you think it'll...
No, if Christian broadcasting... Can I ask you a question this way? If Christian broadcasting becomes only entertainment, then they're doing something wrong. The point is, my whole theory is that... that's why I believe Christians should work in the secular part of the entertainment world and not just work in a very vertical, narrow Christian sphere. Better they work out in the secular world and let people know they're Christians, and let them know that by their actions and by the things they say and by the things they refuse to do. You know, I've turned down scripts over and over the years because I wouldn't say Jesus Christ in a script. You know, so I turned down a big movie with George C. Scott and so forth. You have to take a stand. But the man that was the producer, that is Fred Roos, he's turned out to be my best friend later, and he and I are going to do The United States of America, as a movie one of these days. But he never forgot the stand that I took as a Christian, that I didn't want to read these lines, and that was 15 years ago. But the point, anyhow, I get a little off the track.
My
Sorry.
Idea was to entertain and talk about the good news. You
I know what,
it's got to be both.
Yeah, it has to. You have to let people know the good news, and
make it interesting.
And make it interesting and funny, and at the same time, they know what you were saying when you were all through. Yes,
I remember the question, Stan. You
yes.
are writing a book. I heard.
Yes, that's right.
In a nutshell, because we've got two more calls.
In a nutshell, it's a book for Random House that my editor expected I would finish this year, but now it's going to be 1987. So I wish I could give you the title, but I can't.
We'll look forward to it. Elmer from Monrovia, you're on the air. What's your question?
Well, my curiosity has gotten the best of me. Is this a Stan Freeburg that years ago used to have records and sing that song Stella?
No, that was a different Stan Freeburg. That man went on to become a brain surgeon.
you made reference.
No, that's me. Yes, sir, you found me. That's me. I'm
well,
one and the same
that.
Guy, yeah.
Well, I used to have a record where you'd sing, and then you'd scream Stella or whatever.
Yeah, that was in a record called Shaboom.
Shaboom, that's
Shaboom,
right.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I'm the same guy, yeah.
Well, I got saved about then, and
good.
And I've lost track of you. Well, praise the Lord. I'm just glad to know that.
Thank you for your call, Elmer. Thank you very much. One little story. During the filming of Jaws, Richard Dreyfuss and Steven Spielberg used to do something waiting on the set. What was it?
Well, while they were waiting for the fog to lift so they could finish shooting Jaws, they entertained themselves, according to a story in Time magazine, by singing as much as they could remember of Stan Freeberg Presents the United States of America, and they would sing songs like Take an Indian to Lunch This Week. You know, we didn't have a chance to mention the television spot that I did for the church, and I think I could describe it in about 30 seconds.
Excellent.
May I do that, sir? Yes. Okay. Because a lot of kids have come up to me over the years and told me that they only saw that once, but they never forgot it. Okay, this was this was the Christian Church's only excursion into television broadcasting.
One and only.
One and only into television broadcast. Okay, anyhow, I was interviewing this man who was a psychedelic poster translator. And he said, he showed this, all this psychedelic lettering, you know. And I said, could you translate this poster for us? And he squints at it and looks at it from all angles. He says, yeah, it says Jefferson Airplane, Fillmore Auditorium, July 22nd. I said, oh, boy, that's you must need a good light to do that work. He said, no, you need a bad light, man, bad light. I said, okay. Now I hold up John 3:16, the scripture written in that illuminated biblical lettering.
Yeah.
But it looks very much like what we called psychedelic lettering in the 60s. The guy says, wow, that's groovy lettering. I didn't see this one before. He says, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Wow, that's really heavy. He says, like the guy who said that about loving the world and all, he was really, he knew where it was at. And I said, would you believe that the man who said that said it nearly 2,000 years ago? He says to me, wow, he was really ahead of his time. Boom, a big musical chord hits from the end of A Day in the Life from the Beatles. And this big poster comes on, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, and whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. John 3:16, fade out. Okay, now that was dropped into primetime television also.
We need some more of that, man. We need some more of that.
Yeah.
Bob and Gardena, you're on the air. What's your question? Hello, Bob.
Yes.
You're there. Go ahead.
Stan?
Yes, Bob.
It just blew my mind when I heard earlier in the week that you were going to be on, and I just couldn't believe that Stan Freberg, the satirist, was a Christian.
Blow your mind, eh? Well, I am. I am a Christian.
I grew up with your music.
Yeah.
I won't tell you how old I am. It'll make you feel old. I was just thinking, you know, that so many people in show business, yourself, it's, I don't think anybody knows that you're a Christian. Would it help the witness that you would, you know, let people know?
Well, whenever anybody interviews me like this, I certainly let them know that I'm a Christian. And
there's certain things you won't do, and you've proven that.
Well, there's many things. For example, I never would play Las Vegas. I've turned, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars down to play Las Vegas. I won't play Vegas just because I know people are going to gamble whether I play there or not, but I just don't want some guy to lose his house payment at the roulette wheel just because he came to see Stan Freberg. But let me just say one thing here quickly, if I can remember what it was. Oh, yeah. I noticed when you're in secular broadcasting and you mention you're a Christian, they get kind of embarrassed and, well, which just changed the subject really fast, but it's still important to do. I was on The Tonight Show the night that Martin Luther King was shot, and I was on with Sammy Davis Jr., pardon me, and we were talking. Everybody was really torn up by Martin being killed that way.
Wow.
So, and Sammy Davis with tears coming down his cheeks and all that. And everybody's just talking about, well, now we're going to really rise up. Sammy Davis said, I wouldn't be responsible for my people now, boy. I mean, they're really mad now. And so I was the guy that had to say, listen, before Martin Luther King was a man who was for peace, and before he was a leader of peaceful demonstrations, before he was anything else, he was a Christian. And I am a Christian, I said on The Tonight Show. And I'd like you to all remember that the last thing Martin Luther King would want is for everybody to rise up in bloody warfare now. Just do it as he would want us to do, because he and I were Christians. And so every chance I do get, I do mention that.
Thank you, Stan. We've run out of time. I wish we had 3 hours here.
Well,
but
why don't I just buy the next hour and we'll
keep going, huh? We could do that. Jim Hodson has just come back. But before you say anything, Jim, I've got to say my favorite Stan Freberg story. Tell them where they can write real quick.
Oh, box 6555 Malibu, California, 92064, Bethel Christian Fellowship. Number is 213-457-3741 for information.
Thank you for listening. When Todd and Donna were married... married.
Not yet.
When they were married, you met Kenneth Copeland, and the first thing you said to Ken was, I didn't recognize you without the drums. That's my favorite line.
Because he's always walking back and forth on television with a set of empty drums sitting behind him. Is there a drummer there? No drummer.
He's removed the drums, by the way.
I thank God because of that.
Because of me.
Stan, thank you. It's been an honor.
Thanks,
Donna,
Craig.
Thank you so much. Until next week, Craig Johnson saying God bless you.
So the point is, I'm not saying he's alive, and I'm not saying he isn't. It's just that even if I thought he was, my life is pretty full without any divine... say, can I get you a drink?
No, thanks.
After all, I get two air-conditioned cars, color TV, 8mm camera with a zoom lens, and then I got the boat.
How often do you get down to your boat?
Oh, regularly. Well, I haven't been able to get down for about 5-6 months now, but one of these weekends, the wife and I are going to get down there, right, baby?
Yeah, yeah.
Now, look, Harriet, I'm trying to talk to the man here.
You want to do me a favor? Why don't you stop with all that?
Look, I'm trying to explain how our lives are very full, so don't start.
Listen, I'm sorry I brought it up. I can see your life is very full.
You bet it's full. We get along perfectly well, thank you, without God.
Right. Just checking.
The preceding was presented by the United Presbyterian Church.
Thank you for joining us this week for Introspective. For a list of previously taped programs and for all correspondence, please address your letters to Introspective, Bethel Christian Fellowship, Post Office Box 6555, Malibu, California, 90264-6555. And please join us next week for another interesting and informative hour. This program is produced by Bethel Christian Fellowship of Santa Monica, California, and is made possible by Wogan Chiropractic Offices in Encino, California, and the Friends of Introspective in this area.
Empire of the senses, you're the queen of all.